All right. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit today about Thanksgiving. Y'all know how to give thanks, right? Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thanksgiving is a necessity for me. It's a necessity for you. It's not just a gratitude that is you hand me something that's a sweet or a blessing or a candy or do something for me and I courteously thank you. Thanksgiving is something that you are filled with when you have a need supplied that nothing else could give. God has given us the greatest gift, which is life eternal through the blood of His Son. And so Thanksgiving isn't just the words thank you. Thanksgiving is a fullness. It's an overflow that is coming out of me. And God tells us in the Scripture many, many places. We'll look at a few. But I think one of the most powerful things that was written about the Thanksgiving to God in our nation, our days, was there was a proclamation given by our first president, George Washington, and some of you may have heard it, but I just felt that it was a powerful proclamation to share. And because it's a proclamation of thanksgiving to God and a remembrance. That's another thing about Thanksgiving. It's a remembrance of the things that have been done. It's we come together and give thanks out loud, openly, and publicly. And that's what this recent Thanksgiving holiday was designed to do. And it is a hallmark and a remembrance of what was originally done when I read what I'm going to read to you. And the thanksgiving that we express for what God did to create this nation, not a nation as if it were like, you know, people were cool and we have some kind of American civil religion in the sense of, okay, you know, like it would be no more than the Romans having their civil religion that you pinch to the emperor. No. No, we're talking about a true thanksgiving to the true and living God, the God of Jesus Christ. And that this God, who created the heavens and the earth, also when He created a place, like even in the day when He gave the land to Israel. How many know He gave the land to Israel? He gave the land. We'll talk about that actually next time I'm here. We'll be talking about Abraham and the land. And actually we did talk about that. Sorry, we talked about that last time. Abraham and the land, right? We talked about the fact that Abraham was given the land by God. Well, if God gives you the land, you can't come back and say, well, God took it away from me. Ooh, it wasn't yours. If God gave the land to somebody, it wasn't yours to begin with. It was who God gave it to. Well, it's not fair. No, forget fair. It's God's land. If somebody came to get your land and you didn't like it, then that you would have something to say about it. But this was God's land. And so God gave a land, and the reason God gives lands and gives places is because He has purposes. And He had a purpose in creating this land. This land was really unknown, right? This land was really unknown. I mean, it was between two oceans, I mean, even when they came over here to try to find, they were trying to find something else they knew about. And they came over and, you know, what was that? Oh, it must be India. You know, well, no, it wasn't. It was something they'd never seen before. And God created this as a buffer. He created this as a, it was almost a separate dispensation that he created this nation and this land. Is it holy? No more. It is no more holy than the people who believe in the God of Jesus. That's the only holiness this nation has. Amen? But when they came to the land, and when they came to see the land and came to know it and came to settle on it, God did mighty, mighty things. Well, they took over the land from the Indians. You know, you can think of all kinds of things that you can, you know. Did God give the land? God moves people around. But God's grace and His love and His mercy are for everybody. God makes a way for everybody. He doesn't just get rid of some people because He doesn't love. God loves who? Everybody. Every single person. There's not one person that I can go find today or I can see on TV that God, the Father, doesn't love, that Jesus doesn't love and want them to be in His kingdom. He desires what? Not the death of any sinner. Well, how many are sinners? Every single one of us until we receive the Lord Jesus. And we still sin. We still have sins, but we're no longer a sinner. We are the saints. We are the righteous. Amen. Now, I want to go to this, and then we're going to go to some scriptures in a little bit. And I'm sorry I didn't get this, but you can go find it. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to find.
I have it.
Huh?
I think I have it in the message you said.
Yeah, you probably do.
You may look for it?
No, I've got it. It's not going to help if you have it. It's not going to help anybody. Yeah.
It's easy to find except for
them. Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go. George Washington first mentioned the possibility of a national day, Thanksgiving Day, in a confidential letter to James Madison in August of 1789, just months after taking office, asking for his advice on approaching the Senate for their opinion on a day of Thanksgiving. That's interesting. This is how they began to work things through. They were just finding their way with this new constitution. They'll say, you're the president. There's a Senate over there. There's another bunch of seats over there. There's a House over here. And then way over back over there, there's a Supreme Court. We don't even know what they do yet. You know, you have created this constitution with these first three articles and it deciding how this nation is going to work because you're choosing representatives, then you're electing a president. It's a brand new thing. I mean, we're so used to it now, but they're doing this whole new thing. And so how do they relate to each other? So he's the executive, he's the president, and he's relating now to the Senate. So he's walking, you know, carefully. So he went to James Madison, who is another one of the signers of the Declaration, one of the author, James Madison, the father of the Constitution, the one who actually did most of the work in crafting the design of the government of the United States. So asking for Madison's advice in August that year of 1789 about approaching the Senate. Well, how many people were in the Senate at that time? Anybody want to take a guess? 13 colonies.
13.
Two senators. Two senators each. 26. Today we have 100 because we have 50 states. But then we had 26 senators. I mean, they'd fit in here. The Senate would fit in here. How about a day of their opinion on a day of Thanksgiving? By the end of September 1789, a resolution had been introduced to the House of Representatives, the other guys. Now, the House of Representatives, they had various numbers in theirs, but so I can't tell you exactly right now how many were in there. And they introduced a resolution to the House of Representatives requesting that a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the President of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving. So they all bought into it. The committee put the resolution before the President, and George Washington issued the first national proclamation, Thanksgiving proclamation, within days. George Washington knew the value of a Thanksgiving day long before becoming our first president. During the Revolutionary War, he would order special Thanksgiving services for his troops after successful battles. So here's your commander-in-chief after a successful battle calling for a day of Thanksgiving. That's a good commander. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah.
As well as publicly endorsing efforts by the Continental Congress to proclaim days of thanks, usually in recognition of military victories and alliances. Even in the 18th century, the concept of Thanksgiving was not new to the citizens of the United States. Colonists often established thank days to mark certain occasions. So even the local groups, even the local communities would come together and declare days of thanksgiving, say the city councils, or they would declare days of thanksgiving. These early days of our nation were built around giving of thanks to the Lord our God and to Jesus Christ. These events, these one-time events could occur at any time of the year, emphasizing prayer and spiritual reflection, and were usually more solemn than the Thanksgiving that we observe today. Thanksgiving was not made a legal holiday until 1941. Wow. I mean, here we are, 1789. It was actually not made a legal holiday until 1941, when Congress named the fourth Thursday in November as our National Day of Thanks in answer to a public outcry over President Roosevelt trying to prolong the Christmas shopping season by moving it back to the third. Boy, sounds like Walmart. And by moving Thanksgiving from the traditional last Thursday to the third Thursday of November. So is obviously the fourth Thursday of the year that we now have, and since 1941, have had a National Day of Thanksgiving. Now, here's what I want to read to you. The Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1789. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, and that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people, and to constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and to increase the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George.
As George
Washington.
Awesome.
How powerful. What a powerful statement of thanksgiving to God. Amen? So powerful. I'm waiting for Joe Biden to come out with one.
Yeah, right.
Well, he might maybe he'd just copy this one and post it on the internet.
Keep praying.
When did you say that they signed it into the national holiday?
1941.
Abraham Lincoln
also had done another one, but had not signed it into law as a national holiday.
Right.
Yeah, but Abraham Lincoln also had
a
national Thanksgiving.
Was it generally celebrated among people, even though it wasn't all?
Not that particular day. They were given out. They were proclaimed over periods of time, at various periods of time, over time.
By the time Lincoln came along, were people celebrating a day?
No, it wasn't like this. No, it wasn't like we are doing it now, with everybody has a national day off, to celebrate, Thanksgiving. It was became a national declared holiday, and again, do we do it as we do it, as he did it that day? How many know last Thursday was, for many people, it was Turkey Day?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, what we're talking about here, what I'm talking about, and grateful for, is those leaders who held fast to their faith and to their conviction that it is necessary to lead people in thanksgiving. Amen? And that's like today, is leading people in true thanksgiving. So I want to look at some of the Word of God.
Yeah, I remember it was during the Civil War.
Yeah.
If you read anything about the Civil War, it's a miracle that you stayed together.
Yes, absolutely. Or came back together.
Yes.
Yeah, because we had been, you know.
In the history of mankind, there's never been a republic as large as ours.
That's right. In 2026 will be 250 years. Most republics never made it past most 40 or 50 years.
We're not wrong.
The republic never didn't make it.
What?
The republic didn't last. It became an empire ruled by a single man. So the republic under which Rome started, it was what caused Rome to thrive.
Sure.
But then afterward, it became an empire, and that's why it fell, ultimately, even though it was around for about 400 years. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We know. If you want to know the will of God, it's a good scripture, just so you can find out what the will of God is. It's not the only one that says that. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So this is Paul speaking, and he's, of course, inclusive of many other items that he's promoting for you to do. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. But this one in particular, he adds, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Concerning me. In everything give thanks. So, or maybe you could add all three of them, you know, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These are the ways that we conduct ourselves in a daily fashion. Amen? Is we have rejoicing, we have prayer, we have thanksgiving every single day. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're in Christ Jesus, these are the things that keep you on point. Is rejoicing evermore, praying, giving thanks. Powerful to give thanks. Father, we give you thanks today. Lord, we give you thanks today. We give you honor and glory. But Lord, we give you our gratitude because you have spoken to us. You have given to us your salvation. Hallelujah. You've given to us your salvation. 2 Corinthians 4:15. You can write these down if you want. 2 Corinthians 4:15. For all things, this is again Paul. Most of these are Paul's declarations about what the Holy Spirit has given to God has given to us in this life in Christ. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. So your thanksgiving actually is a testimony. So, you know, better than just Turkey Day. But when we're giving thanks on this particular proclaimed day, this is a proclamation. This day of thanksgiving is not just, okay, get your turkeys ready. This day of thanksgiving is an open invitation to the entire world to give thanks to the God of heaven for His great mercy. We just get used to kicking the can down the road. We just get used to, go to church Sunday. Where are we going to lunch? You know, we just get used to our practices.
Checking the boxes.
Checking our boxes, that's right. But every day, for all things are for your sakes, so that, listen here, the abundant grace, there's abundant grace, and it's doing something. It might, through thanksgiving, through the thanksgiving of many, the abundant grace does this. It creates, or it results in, redound to, means it results in the glory of God. So our thanksgiving, publicly displayed, it's like a nativity scene out there that, you know, you realize, I don't know if you knew this, is that the law that prevented you from putting displays of the Ten Commandments and displays of nativity scenes on public properties. You remember all those fights? Remember all those fights for in state courts and city courts and you can't put that there. That says religion. It's gone. That law is gone. And believe it or not, it was called Lemon.
It was called Lemon.
And they always refer to cases by the names of the litigants.
That's
that law was called Lemon, and it was in place for since the, I think the 60s, and there were 7,000 cases that were decided based on Lemon,
right.
And that law, along with Coach Kennedy going down to the 50-yard line up there in Washington State, he won his case. He got his job back.
Good.
They fired him. Do you know who fired him? His wife.
His wife?
His wife worked for the school district.
Not department, human resources.
She delivered the message. She delivered the message. That was her job.
Yeah, no, but she
instigated. Anyway. I mean, how evil is this?
Right.
Not the woman, but you know, the organization, the way that it was done. You know, Martha, go fire John. You know, couldn't somebody else do it? No, you have to do it. I mean, it's evil.
Oh, wow.
That's like Hamas killing people. You know,
yeah.
It's evil. Anyway, so what he does, what the Lemon Law that got rid of all, you had to take away, all these cases can now be retried. All these cases can come, or they can come back and just, they said, hey, can we put this on the, could put the Ten Commandments back on the Texas Capitol? Yeah, sure, go ahead. Not a problem. And nobody can fight you. Nobody can fight you. They'll try, but they'll throw it out.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
So these things, all these testimonies of God's faithfulness can now be brought back.
Absolutely.
How powerful is that?
Yeah.
In the days coming, Lord, we pray that the testimony of Jesus and the testimony of God's word and his faithfulness will be brought forward in such a powerful way in the days that we are waiting for Jesus to arrive. Amen?
Amen?
And the days that we're waiting for the end of the age.
All the schools.
And this is our testimony. Our testimony brings glory to God. So the lemon law is gone. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of y'all, redound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 9, 10, and 11. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, let him both minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Wow. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. In other words, people see you and they give glory to God. Now, they may not do it publicly, but they have to in their heart of hearts. And God is good. God is good. I mean, look at Andrew. I mean, God is good. People see Andrew. They see your testimony. They hear you quoting Scripture. they hear your joy, and people give glory to God. Though they hate themselves for doing it, it's like, no, there is a God in heaven who loves me, and it's our thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful, for be anxious for nothing. Be full of care. Full of care for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget, sprinkle a little thanksgiving on there. By prayer and supplication. Oh God, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day and praise and things that you are doing. See, it's a thanksgiving is necessary. It's important for you. Thanksgiving is not just be kind, be courteous to God today. Give him a thank you. Thank you. No, thanksgiving is important for me. Thanksgiving is important for me. So I'm recognizing that God is in me. That's why you teach your children. Every time you eat, give thanks. You teach your children to give thanks as a practice. Do we teach our brothers and sisters? Do we encourage each other to give thanks publicly and with gusto, with emphasis? Giving thanks. God, come in. People do that all the time. You know, when you're in your ceremonies. You know, bring so-and-so in here. Thank you. Because you're recognizing that person's gift. Amen? So that's what we're doing. God, come in here. We got to thank you today. Bring him in. Invite him in. And thank him. Don't just thank him. You know, see, here am I sitting at my table fixing to eat my turkey. Got 25 people, you know, lined up with their forks, you know. And we just, well, God brought this stuff, so y'all thank him someday. You know, y'all thank him before the end of the day. You know. No, everybody, stop. Bow your head. Give. Invite him into your the presence of the saints, and give him thanks. He won't eat much turkey. He won't. He'll leave enough for you. But thank him. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as you have therefore received Christ, so walk ye in him. As you have received, how did you receive him? By faith. How do you walk in him? By faith. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Is that just an afterthought? No. It's the period. Abounding with thanksgiving. As you have therefore received Christ, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught.
Which scripture?
Abounding therein, in that rooted and grounded state, abounding with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Colossians 4, 2. Continue in prayer. It's like that one we read over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right? Pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer and watch the same in thanksgiving. Continue in thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. Listen. Continue in thanksgiving. Here's about that eating thing. 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Thank God. Thank you, Father, for our sustenance, for our food. Ephesians 4:5. And now you could read a little bit before this, but this was the main crux of what I want to get to. is your daily walk, your daily communication. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So in other words, your daily walk in communication. How many know daily communication can be rather coarse, can be rather unclean. You know, I don't know if you know how many, if you're in business or just in going through daily life, the way people communicate is foul. Some people don't have more than 5 or 6 words in their vocabulary, and they're foul. They don't know how to communicate without foulness. You know, I can't even listen to you. I can't even listen to you. I don't even know what you're saying. If you're communicating in that form, everything you just said just is meaningless to me. I can't even. It's like you're speaking a foreign language. He says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Foolish talking. That means you can't be humorous or enjoy one another. Nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. There's the not convenient part, which things are just beyond necessary. But rather, let your conversation be sprinkled with thanksgiving, with recognition of God's provision. How's that? Amen? Our communication is not filthy or foolish or filled with joking, but rather our conversation is filled with giving of thanks. A continued recognition that God is doing mighty things among us. That's our walk. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things. Wow. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how often and how much? Giving thanks always for all things. Well, gee, brother, we get the idea. Well, God actually is doing a mighty thing. He's commanding us to give thanks, isn't he? He's commanding us to include giving of thanks as a practice not to be ignored or dismissed or neglected. That's the word I want. Not to be neglected. How many things do you neglect over time? You know, there's things we neglect. Cleaning things, putting things away. Giving of thanks. So we don't neglect giving of thanks. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1:12. Colossians full of this stuff. Y'all need to go read Colossians. It'd be better for you. Amen. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father and by Him. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. Those four things. What do you mean, first of all? The four things. They're all one thing. I exhort, therefore, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You mean you're going to thank God for all men? I wouldn't. And what good are they? No, God said give thanks for all men. For all. He said give thanks for all men. giving thanks for all men. God wants you to give thanks for all men because He likes them. He wants them. He loves them. Amen? Remember what we said earlier. It's not His desire that any should perish, but that all come to eternal life. Amen? So I don't go for Calvinism. I don't believe that, you know, God picked you eeny, meeny, miny, moe. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. No. He gave it to all. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. Hebrews 13:15, last one. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks to His name. Now, do we read all those scriptures to hammer it home? No, it's God is impressing upon me the giving of thanks is a practice that is helpful to me. Because then I recognize and I receive His goodness. As I give thanks, not as rote, not like, you know, you write down a little prayer that you say every morning that reminds you of it. But you continually give thanks as you're walking through your day. And you then also assign maybe perhaps days of thanksgiving, whether it's a day of fasting and thanksgiving for yourself or for your family or for the church, is setting up and declaring days of thanksgiving. Amen? Not just, you know, the one that we have a turkey on, but days of thanksgiving, days of gratitude to the Lord our God, which empowers us to walk in His will, which empowers us to walk in His finished work, and which empowers us to be a witness. Thanksgiving through us is a witness, but also empowers us to be a witness. Because we now recognize daily and hourly and monthly and weekly in various times and seasons, we recognize His provision for us and His provision for the world and His love for the world. Amen? His love for the world. His love for my classmates, although they are wild and woolly. Amen? I mean, our workmates, or as Esther calls them, my co-workers. I don't know why I like that. It's just, my co-worker. She'll always refer to her excuse me, her. I was talking to my co-worker. I don't know just why that's. Maybe it's just Esther. I don't know. Maybe it's just cute. But these are your co-workers. These are your co-livers. Amen? Your co-walkers. People whom you walk through. Your neighbors, right? I mean, the people whom you know. The people whom you might or might not enjoy. God is so good. Amen.